You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
Today,
Brevard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
But God is about to push you into another zone. Glory to God. And if you're reluctant, you won't make the steps that you need to make. You will not take the action that you need to take. You will not embrace the palm that you need to shake because you're reluctant. But God says, do not fear or be horrified, for you will not be ashamed. It is a prophecy. If I can deal with your fear, you won't deal with shame.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, My Redeemer Lives. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 6 through 8.
Remember the prisoner. Remember those in prison. This is Hebrews 13, verse 3. If you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Some of us were on to the next one so much we never contemplate. If you were the one suffering, how would you want to be treated? I'm coming after the refuse today. And I believe vicariously as believers, as we ride down the road, we're supposed to ride, but we're also supposed to look out in our windows and see those who are suffering and imagine yourself being there if it had not been for your Redeemer. And it will keep you balanced in your life. It will keep you from becoming very proud and audacious. Audacious enough to say, look what they're doing. As if you've never been tore up from the floor up. Or if you've never wanted to eat chicken lips. If you've never wanted to eat gizzards and you had nothing else to get. We know we've had humble beginnings. And God wants us to always remember that He's the one that brought us out. He's the one that redeemed us. He's the one that sanctified us. We didn't do it ourselves. We were bought with a price. I said some of us wanted to eat chicken lips. The beak of the chicken. Oh, my God. I didn't stumble. I meant to say it. I had somebody offer me some, I think it was chicken feet soup. I said, I don't like that. I can't. You like that, Brother Brown? Where's Brother Brown? You eat chicken feet? It's delicious. Oh, Jesus. I came home from school, and I came home from school when I was in an, actually, I brought like 27 chickens home from school when I was in the ninth grade. And in biology, we raise these chickens, right? And so I asked the professor, I said, what are you going to do with them? He said, well, we're going to get rid of them. And so I said, well, let me take them, right? And so I got a cardboard box, and I packed them all in there, and I walked home with them. And when I got home, you know, my daddy said, what are you doing? I said, I want to raise them. I mean, they're going to kill them. And let me raise them. So I parlayed for it. He was like, you know, he didn't want to hear all of that. And so, but I parlayed. I advocated for him. Anyway, he let me and Nick help me out, and we raised them. But one day I came home, and one of my chickens was in the pot. I said, wait a minute. You got Winn-Dixie right there. Why would you take mine? That was my first pastoral job. When they died, I buried them. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to put it in a book. I'll let you all read it in a book. the wearisome tolls of my first pastoral ministry. The roosters, when they grew up, they started trying to attack me. So this is what's amazing about the farm. I raised them, and as soon as they grew up, they tried to attack me. If I introduced a hen into the group that was different, the other ones attacked her. Kept nipping into her wing until they get to the flesh. Had to separate her just because she was different. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. All of my chickens were white, but when I gave them a red one, they could tell that she was different. They had to attack her. Oh, my God. I didn't have a base underneath, so their feet were there under the net, and raccoons started eating them from the bottom up. I go out there one day, and there's no feet. Because you don't know what's underneath. You got to protect where you stand. I didn't know that I would get involved to that degree. I didn't know that I would learn so much about life and about people in a chicken coop. Oh, my God, help me. That's why somebody has to redeem it. Somebody's got to stand between you and the fox. Somebody's got to protect you from the storm. Somebody's got to protect your eggs because serpents try to get them. And I can go on and on. But I wanted to tell you all that my father took my chicken and ate it. I couldn't eat it. He said, "We got good dinner today. I'm not eating it." And when I was young, I used to eat. I'm not eating that. All night. Why would he take mine? He got all of his. He got all of his stuff. Why would he take mine? Glory to God. That's how I am as a pastor. I don't want one of y'all lost. Not one. Not one of you. I don't want you to leave this place without knowing a redeemer. I don't want you boiling in a pot. People sipping on your gravy. Oh, my God. I don't want it. I believe at the end of the year, we should be able to present to God a beautiful church. And a beautiful community. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why abandonment is such a stronghold in our society is because we all lack connection. Many of us do. Feel disconnected no matter where we go. Easily offended too. Easily offended with other people. It becomes an excuse. Becomes an excuse to stay departmentalized. And we lack meaningful relationships. The church shouldn't just be a gathering place on Sunday, but there should be meaningful relationships that are established here. I should meet you at church and we're able to go to the movies together. I should meet you at church, we're able to talk on the phone sometimes. I should meet you at church and we're able to collaborate and come together. Create ministry opportunities. Help each other with children, especially those who are in childbearing age, to help facilitate that. You go into a ministry, why can't somebody in your age group help out with taking care of the kids? Why would Vacation Bible School need any support when we're here? Somebody needs to volunteer some time and give it to the Lord. Glory to God. Another reason why abandonment is such a stronghold in our society is, I believe, isolation. isolation, physically and emotionally. People are physically and emotionally in their own silos. We feel alienated as well. But when I ask you, what do? How many people do you call? Well, I don't really like that. But you'd cry about nobody calling you. The Lord spoke to me years ago. I would say the Spirit spoke to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it just came to me. I believe it was the Lord. And said, if you want social prosperity, you must sow into social prosperity. If you want your phone to ring, you got to call somebody. I was looking at my phone one day in my apartment. It wasn't ringing. For 3 days, I was looking at it. And that's when that thought came to me. What are you looking at? You better call somebody. The Lord let me know you're not all that. You're not all that. People are not thinking about you all the time. If you want it, you have to sow into it. Amen. Write it down. The third thing I believe that we need to talk about when we talk about abandonment is a stronghold in our society. The feelings of abandonment is, I believe, that many people feel misunderstood. You're on the fringes. Many of us are different. We have various backgrounds. Just because many of us may be in the room and we're of the same ethnicity doesn't mean we have the same experiences. And that's why I don't like when people put everybody in the same pot. There are preachers who sing and preach. God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a singing preacher, okay? I'm a teaching preacher. I've gone to a church and the man said, that was a good message, but I wanted you to do like Evie Hill. I said, you want me to sing? He said, yeah, like this. He said, yeah, that's it. I said, man, I'm not like Evie Hill. My name is Merton Clark, M to the E to the R to the T, the O to the N. I'm a different person. Evie Hill is from California, and he's dead. Man, oh God. Number four. This is going to hurt. People feel abandoned because a lot of people in our society are dealing with mental health issues. And when I was coming up, any mental health issues were considered to be demonic. We've come to find out that some people are just having challenges with controlling their thoughts. Conditions like depression and anxiety they're not able to contain themselves. Their mind just runs rampant. And we have to pray about those issues. And we have to get our people help. We can't just play with it or jump over it or pray it out. We got to get them help. Amen. This is the society that we're in. Another point that I wanted to make is that life changes. I started out this message with dealing with 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds. And I pray that it sticks in your mind, and 90-year-olds and what's after it, workplace, society, family, earth, because that's where we are. Life changes, but it's not waiting for you to get 60 to change. It can change when you're 30. It's changing for 25-year-olds. It's changing for teenagers. Life just changes things. And the church is the hospital for all of these changes. Guess who's the physician? There's only one. His name is Jesus, and he's the Redeemer. Which takes me to my last point on this segment, and that is trauma. Past trauma is difficult to overcome. The more I pastor and the more I study, the more I believe it is true. You know, scientists believe that emotional and mental pain pings in the brain just as hard as physical bones being broken. Well, I never had a broken bone, Bishop. Well, did you ever have your mind to break? Did you go through something so severe that it caused you severe pain in your mind? Well, scientists believe that it is just as severe to your internals. This is how your brain deals with it. Just like if you had a fracture, a compound fracture in your leg. Some believe that this trauma can be passed on to future generations. That's why we need more than just a counseling session. We need a redeemer. So let's look at Isaiah 54 again. This passage is powerful that I read to you at the top of my message. Write it down. It's an optimistic chapter. Found in the New Testament of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. One of the things that Isaiah was trying to do is ensure that the children of Israel, to ensure them of God's infinite love and his mercy, his infinite protection. No matter what you're going through, it doesn't take away the love of God or eliminate the love of God from your life. It also speaks to spiritual barrenness. And the beautiful promise of redemption and restoration and the flourishing that comes when you know the Redeemer. So I want to look at Isaiah 54 and verse 4 again. Isaiah 54 and verse 4, first thing out of his mouth. Do not fear. If you're taking notes, write down horrified. That word in the Hebrew is horrified. Do not be horrified. Fear has different shades. Just like anger has different shades, wrath and rage and murder. Well, fear here is horror. Bible says, don't be horrified. And I speak to horror about your future, worrying about what's coming tomorrow. Glory to God. You may not have made sure that you have everything in a row, but you got a Redeemer and he will help put things together. The Bible says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. That word ashamed is reluctant. You will not be reluctant to make movement. Shame sometimes paralyzes us. But God is about to push you into another zone. Glory to God. And if you're reluctant, you won't make the steps that you need to make. You will not take the action that you need to take. You will not embrace the palm that you need to shake because you're reluctant. But God says, do not fear or be horrified, for you will not be ashamed. It is a prophecy. If I can deal with your fear, you won't deal with shame. If I can get you to stop being afraid of your tomorrow, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, and your 90s, if I can get you to stop worrying about all of that, you will not be ashamed. He's prophesying to your future, but I got to stop you from being afraid because fear will block you, glory to God, from walking in self-esteem. Will keep you in that box called ashamedness. Glory to God. So do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame. Why would he say it again? Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither will you be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. The fear of being put into shame or failure floods many of our lives. Glory to God, especially when we don't know the power of a Redeemer. So fear has a way of opening the door to shame and disgrace. Look at what the word says, for you will forget the shame of your youth. I'm preaching to somebody, you will forget the shame of your youth. In other words, I'm going to raise you up in a way where you will be able to look over your shame. Glory to God. That word here for you will forget, it is not that you won't remember, but you will overlook it. In other words, you'll be able to put it in its proper context and it won't be something that stops you from moving forward. Glory to God. Say you will overlook it. Amen. You're going to overlook it. Like I'm standing on a platform and I can look over your head. It doesn't mean that I'm better than you, but because I'm on this platform, I can overlook some stuff. Glory to God. I can even see stuff that's behind you. I can see an open door that's behind you. When you turn around, you'll see that the door is open. I can see people around you that's rooting you on like a cloud of witnesses. I can see people around you that's not frowning and they want to see you succeed. But all you can see is where you sit. The Bible wants, the Redeemer wants us to get to a place where we can overlook it now. Glory to God. Let God raise you up on a platform where you're not stuck, hallelujah, but you see things from an elevated spot. That's what Redeemer does for us. He lifts us up. He raises us up. He causes us to climb higher. He will even make enemies footstools. Not for us to crush the enemy, but he wants you to overlook some things now. You're the king, and you need to be able to overlook that. You're the queen. You need to be able to what? Overlook it. The Bible says you will overlook the shame of your youth. This is powerful. You will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. In other words, you're going to overlook it. Glory to God. One of the things the Redeemer does is helps us to deal with our past traumas. Glory to God. So we can have a brighter day. If we constantly look behind us, we cannot walk forward. We got to let it go. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching good. You've got to let it go. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You got to let it go. That's why God brought you here this morning to get this message. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. I ain't ready for that. I ain't ready to let it go. What do you know? Because what? Because what? The Redeemer said, let it go. Look at verse 5. For your maker, capitalized. For your maker. Let's stop right there before we see who he is. Your maker, that's the one who gives you cause. Your maker, the producer. Glory to God. In other words, if you're unknown and you go into someone's music camp and they say, well, I'm going to help you to be known. You have a great voice, but there's certain things you just can't do on your own. So when you come in here, I'm going to make sure I line you up with a vocal coach. I'm going to make sure you get recording hours in the studio. I'm going to make sure that we talk to certain radio stations and other people when you get out there that your voice will be heard. But I'm going to make sure that my expertise is put on your record and we're going to go. This producer, though, don't want any accolades or trying to take all of your money. They want to make sure that you're well known and you get the resources. Your maker, the one that gave you cause, your producer, write it down, your architect, your maker, the one that built you anyway, is your husband. Glory to God. In other words, You're not out there alone. Glory to God. The Lord of hosts is his name. You know what that word host means? He has legions and armies with him. He's trying to show you that the one who cares for you is not out there or just alone, but he has a host of angelic beings. The Lord of hosts will do battle for us. The Lord that has, I think, two angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed it. So one of them can destroy a city. Jesus said, I can call down 10,000 to deliver me from the cross. Think about 10,000 cities on fire, just in a moment's notice. Well, the Lord of hosts is the person. He's trying to say to you that if you start thinking bigger and stop looking at the issue, let that go and really embrace the Redeemer in your life, not just for salvation, but for every day that you walk and talk and live this life and allow him to work with you. There's a partnership here. He's not going to leave you without an inheritance.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, My Redeemer Lives, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2407-0708. That's reference number 2407-0708.
The latest Revealed magazine edition is available on truthrevealed.org. You can download a copy or purchase a hard copy for $3 at the communication and promotion counter. Ladies, we invite you to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. It will be a time of fellowship, learning, and growth. See you there.
Vacation Bible School Praise Party 2 is from July 15th to July 19th. Register your kids ages 2 to 6th grade and grab those t-shirts using the mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer.
Sign up for the life-changing Driven Group today. Scan the QR code in the foyer to unlock your life's purpose. Contact Elder Toby for more information.
Let's celebrate our bishop's birthday on Wednesday, July 10th. Show Bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org, the Truth Revealed app, or Cash App at Truth Revealed 2. If sending a check, make it payable to Truth Revealed with Bishop's birthday on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.